Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
This is probably the most dynamic second unit.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick of The Athletic. Brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee.
All right, the Blazers check in today 41-26. They are currently tied. No, sorry, they're a half game back of both Oklahoma City and Houston. Blazers sit fifth, and then Oklahoma City, Houston tied for the three spot. Here is Jason Quick, and long time no talk. How are you? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good. Glad to hear it. Now, how did you dig up this new bromance news that Aldridge and Lillard are buddies now?
Well, I knew that they had taken steps to repair their friendship. I didn't realize how deep it had gone. But with Dame nearing LaMarcus on the all-time scoring list, I thought it was a timely way to get into that relationship. And as I talked to Dame and found out just how extensive it was and how, Jamal Crawford kind of facilitated it, and the limit or the lengths that they went to, you know, really tell the other, finally, this is how I felt when you were here, and this is what I wish would have happened. And, once I found that out, I knew I had to get a hold of LaMarcus, and talking to LaMarcus, he has really changed. And I thought that the last time the Spurs came to Portland, I went to the locker room and just visited with him, and I left so impressed. He was so at ease, and you could just tell that he was really comfortable with himself and with how his life had turned out. And in talking to him and reconnecting on Tuesday, he said a big part of him being at peace and being comfortable with himself was finally addressing that cloud of Dame and resolving it and becoming friends with him. That has allowed him to feel very at peace with himself.
So what was the problem?
I think the problem was, it was lack of communication. It was LaMarcus being a little bit insecure and uptight about a new kid coming in to the team and having star potential. And it was Dame just wanting more from him. And I think there was a lot of people talking in their camps. And I can't really get exactly who it was, whether it was family members or agents or what. They both are very vague about it. But they're just saying other people put ideas into our head about, oh, they're making him the face of the franchise, or he doesn't like you. He's dissing you. And really, it never came from either of them. And I think there should have been someone in the Blazers organization who got them in a room and had them talk. And I remember back when there was the beef between Brandon Roy and Andre Miller. And I remember Kevin Pritchard physically took those two and put them in a room and had tried to get them to talk, but they wouldn't. Neither of them would open up and acknowledge that there was a problem or that there were hard feelings. And sometimes it's like that. And I asked LaMarcus about it, and he said, it's easier said than done because we're both alpha males and it's hard for us to kind of open up and accept blame or acknowledge that you didn't do something. So basically, the long story short, I think it was a really poor example of a lack of communication that led to people thinking things that really weren't there.
Well, it's interesting too, because Lillard is known as such a great teammate and such a great leader. I know this was early on. It's probably not the same player, but I think back to the LaMarcus Aldridge, Brandon Roy thing. That started with like not an invite to dinner that LaMarcus took personally. Right. Am I wrong in thinking that LaMarcus was just one of the more sensitive players that have ever come through Portland?
No question. And I think he would even admit that at the time. That stems from his high school years. So there was a time where, he was a stud high school guy, and they basically froze him. His teammates froze him out of a game. And then there was one incident where he was named, I think, All-State or McDonald's All-American or something. And the hallway in his high school, they had a bunch of, construction paper congratulating him and all that. Well, the next day it was torn down. Everything was ripped to shreds. And they went to and had video of it, and they saw that his teammates did it. And that crushed him. And I think that really made him kind of recoil inside. And I think he has always been very, you have to earn his trust. And he was very wary of people the entire time he was in Portland. But again, I can't impress upon you guys how much he's changed and just what a different feel it is talking to him now, just the way he expresses himself. And he's very at peace. I think he's very comfortable with what and who he's become.
This is Jason Quick here with us every Thursday at 5:30 on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Why did I just – my curiosity gets the best of me sometimes. It probably doesn't matter, but why did his teammates not like him?
I don't know. I can't – I'd have to go back and ask him again. We're going back a few years. But I can't remember the exact – details of the stories, but I think it was a little bit of jealousy that he got all the headlines on their team. It was something along those lines, I think.
All right. So is the idea of him returning to Portland real in your opinion?
I don't think in the immediate future. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He'll be 35, almost 36 when that contract's up. I think it's feasible that he could come here to end his career, sign a 2 or 3 year deal, be a veteran who maybe comes off the bench, kind of grooms a young guy, be it if that's still Zach Collins or what. I don't think that's out of the question. I think, 3 years ago, you would have said there's no way he'll come back because one of the hurdles was his relationship with Dame. And I think one of the major hurdles in that scenario kind of coming true has been cleared because they have mended their relationship, and now they both want to make it happen. They both realize that, dang, we were a pretty good duo. We had it going. So I think it's possible. I really do.
When you look at what Lillard has turned into and kind of the mending of the relationship, and I know LaMarcus was here, but that's the first time I can ever remember an all-star player saying, I want to come play in Portland, even if it's, a homecoming towards the end of his career. But with Portland being, better considered a solid Western Conference team, with the emergence of Damian Lillard as being a star, is he one day a guy that could actually lure someone else that wants to come play here to play alongside him? Because he just, with all the other crap that goes on with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, LeBron, he seems like he would be a delight to play with if I'm another star.
I would think so, but at the same time, he's also a really high-volume shooter, and he's needs the ball in his hands a lot. Typically, to get guys to come, that they're going to be like, okay, I want to get mine. I want a guy who's going to feed me the ball. And I do think Dame is a willing passer and a good passer, but I still think he needs his 20 shots a game and the ball in his hands a lot. So I don't know how much of a detriment that is to potential free agents out there who, want to go to a situation where they can flourish. But I don't know. I just don't think it's a slam dunk just because of the style of play.
Well, and don't forget, CJ is here too. That's 18 more shots. Right. You got 38 shots right there that guys are going, I don't know.
Yep.
All right, so Jason Quick of The Athletic here. CJ McCollum told you that, he feels like, or I saw his quote that he said, we feel like we're more battle tested. I'm actually a believer in that. I think that matters. you know, they've been through some playoff wars and obviously gotten their ass kicked. You know, they've lost 10 straight playoff games. My question to you is, how much does that matter, that going into the postseason, the Blazers are essentially the same team, although they've added, you know, some role guys here, some nice bench players. But does it matter that they're battle-tested?
I do. I think so. Just from a mental standpoint, I think they're going to play with a real chip on their shoulders. At least Dame and CJ. But I think also those two guys, they, after that Clippers game, they really remarked to me about how the way that they're winning now. They're winning some tough games because they're tough inside. They're getting defensive stops late in games. They're getting the key offensive rebound at key times. And other guys are making shots. You know, Layman kind of hit the dagger against the Clippers. And, you know, it's going to be interesting tomorrow when they play New Orleans. I'm anxious to talk to Alvin Gentry, the Pelicans coach, because I'm going to ask him, if you had to game plan in a playoff series against this Blazers team compared to last year's, is it more difficult? You know, would you be able to implement the same defensive strategies with this roster as you did the other roster? Because you look, the difference basically in this year from last year is, instead of Ed Davis, Pat Connaughton, and Shabazz Napier coming into a playoffs game, you now have Enes Kanter, Jake Layman, and Rodney Hood. And so I think this year's team, those three guys coming off the bench, give you a better shot at winning. And I'd even throw in Seth Curry in there too. I mean, Seth Curry, I think, is a guy who can make some shots. So I'm going to guess that Alvin Gentry would say they're a little more dangerous this year from an offensive standpoint as far as Trapp and Dame. I think they have more outlets. But I'm going to be curious to see if he would acknowledge that.
Do you buy into how they're playing at the end of the year? I mean, is it important to – what, do you got 15 games left, mm-hmm. or is it just going to come down to a matchup?
I think it's going to come down to a matchup. I mean, we've seen this team, you know, be red hot going into the playoffs, and it didn't mean anything. So I think it's totally going to be about matchups. And I just got done talking to Lillard after their practice here in New Orleans, and I was asking him, he keeps talking about, we just need to have that breakthrough. And I'm like, what do you mean by that breakthrough? And he's like, we just need to perform well in the playoffs. It feels like they've assembled themselves and played themselves into good position, but they just seem to, he didn't use the word choke, but essentially that's what he's saying. They've choked on the big stage the last couple of years. And so he's just like, we've got to have that big performance. And I think that's where you get into the battle-tested mindset and experience of, okay, we really need to bring this and we really need to be sharp here.
You buy that, Jason? You buy that, I mean, that they've choked? Or is it just, I mean, it's hard for him to say they're just not good enough. I mean, some of us just look at the roster and go, it's not that good.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think Dame and CJ have not performed like stars on the big stage. And part of that is because how teams are playing them. But you look at stars around the league, and you know, other playoff teams are game planning to get the balls out of their hands and game planning to make it difficult on them, and they still perform. And I think last year, be it scheme wise, whatever, they just did not perform well. Both of those guys.
Do you think they beat Oklahoma City in a series?
No.
Do you think they beat Houston in a series?
No.
Do you believe they beat Utah in a series?
I do, yes.
Okay, so they got to get Utah.
I think they can beat. Yeah, or Denver. If Denver slips to 3 and Portland goes to 6, I think Portland can beat Denver as well.
You think they beat, you probably think they beat the Clippers too, right? I mean, that.
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
Clippers looked a little scrappy the other night, but I mean.
Well, that's the thing is they just play hard, and it's a good collection of guys. But again, if stars win, I think that's maybe why you like the Denver and Utah matchups too. If stars win in the postseason, those are teams that aren't necessarily filled with, certainly the Clippers not filled with stars, collection of talent.
Quicker, the Blazers could tank down to the 7 and get Denver.
Yeah. Good.
I mean, you know what? It's so weird. Like, you want to do the best you can. You want to get, try to get home court. But I'm with you that if they get Oklahoma City or Houston, which they seem to be on a collision course with one of the two, I think they're dead. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. I think an Oklahoma City series would be fantastic, though.
You think it'd be close?
I do. But I just think it would be so emotional and so crazy because those teams just do not like each other.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have multiple guys, white guys, getting kicked out of the Rose Garden yelling at Russell Westbrook. All right. Thank you, sir. Love you.
Okay, guys. Yeah, all we'll right. see
you. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.